Hello, everyone. Happy Preparation Day. Today is Friday, March the 29th, 2019, 7 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, or Pacific Daylight Time, I mean. Welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, sponsored by the Women's Ministry Department of Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church in Los Angeles, California. I am Nora Fabrigar, your moderator this morning, and I'm moderating from Los Angeles, California. From Mark 11, verse 24, the word of the Lord says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." We are so blessed that we have this prayer line where we can come together morning and evening at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. to pray together as one big family, to fellowship with one another, and to listen from the word or from the message that the word or that the Lord has given us through our speaker. We pray that we should make Christ's work as our example, constantly praying without ceasing. And in the book of prayer by Ellen G. White, I quote, "Pray much, believe, trusting, hoping, believing, and holding fast the hand of the infinite power, and you will be more than conquerors." Amen. So this morning, our speaker is Sister Pat Sheffield, and the reference number of this presentation is reference number 777, the Lord's number. Praise the Lord. And this is the third in a series, and I will, at the end of this presentation, I will tell you the reference number of the part one and the part two. So before I give the line to Sister Pat, I will have a short introduction here. And may I ask one of the callers to please prepare for the opening prayer. Sister Pat Sheffield is known as Sister Pat. She is the servant of the Lord in the capacity of a medical missionary. Her duties in this God-supported Bible health ministry include but are not limited to promoting faith in God, teaching the world about the soon-coming Savior, and proclaiming mankind's right to physical, mental, and spiritual healing through health reform. Sister Pat is a full-time medical missionary. And as a faithful ambassador of health, Sister Pat showcases the exalted preeminence of biblical health principles, along with using practical modalities of healing ordained in heaven, profiling the head and not the tail of a true medical science. And when it comes to women's health, Sister Pat has an extreme passion for the complete comprehensive care of women from infancy to seniors. This is fulfilled in several areas of her ministry, such as medical missionary training, pregnancy, childbirth, and midwifery education, and services, health lectures, personal consultation, therapeutic services, publications, and more. This work includes domestic and foreign assignments. And simply put, Christ's commission in Matthew 28 has been and is Sister Pat's mission. Sister Pat focuses on women's health, and he goes to other countries to do this ministry. Today, she is not in her comfort zone. She is conducting... Is that a medical missionary training, Sister Pat, now in Alabama? Oh, wow. And we are so blessed that she is with us this morning. And as before I give the line to her, may I ask Sister Hunter from Florida to lift up Sister Pat Sheffield in prayer and all our prayerless. And let's invite the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst.
Hello?
Hello, Sister Ayoni. Good morning.
Good morning. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Oh, can you bow ahead, those who can? I'm going to kneel. I'm ready. Kind and eternal Father, Lord, we come before your presence to thank you for all the blessing, all the love and the mercy that you bestowed upon us from the past until now. We are undone, we are unworthy, but because of your dear love for us, you sent your Son to die in our stead so that we can have the privilege to come and call thee Abba Father. Lord, as we about to study your word, dear Lord, we beg of you that your servant that you have used to bring the message for the hour, that you would hide her behind the cross, give her the wisdom, the knowledge, understanding, that as she speaks your word to us, it will be bring to memory your love at Calvary's cross, the suffering that your Son been through to give us eternal life. Lord, imbue her with thy Holy Spirit, dear Lord, that as she speak your word, we will humble ourselves at the foot of the cross and to be closer drawn to thee. Lord, as we are on your preparation day, we beg of you that you would give us a understanding heart to learn to observe your holy Sabbath. Lord, help us to be closer drawn to thee. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, what we fail of acts of thee, we not fail of granting to us. In just name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Ayoni, for our opening prayer. God bless you for your faithfulness here on the line. And Sister Pat Sheffield, good morning and welcome once again to our session this morning. The time is now yours.
Praise God. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Once again, he has afforded us more probationary time to make our calling and election sure. We're praying. Father in heaven, great is your faithfulness, and how great and marvelous are your works. Who's like unto you? There is none. And we thank you, God, for being our Father, being our God, who never sleeps nor slumber, but who is watching over his children, undone as we are. But you delight to grant us with all of your mercies and your blessings, Lord. But we tie your hands many times because we choose not to do the things you ask us to do. But we thank you for Jesus, who came that we may have life and have it much more abundantly. We pray that we truly will crave the pain, the toil, the suffering that our elder brother, our high priest, that went through, so that we can partake of heaven. Heaven is cheap enough, but it is not easy. We must die daily. So hide me behind the shadow of the cross this morning, that I may not be heard, Lord, but that words from on high will be from you, and that the seeds that will be planted, you will do the watering, you will give the increase, and we truly will be careful to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. As we continue our series and parenting classes, I thank God for this opportunity that even though as parents we, some of us may be, he still gives us another chance. And this morning, we're going to touch on the crisis in the home, because we want to no present truth. And we need to know, even before we become parents, or if we're already parents, what is our present duty? And in doing that, we can have the present hope to reign in heaven, eternity, not only by ourselves, but our children by our sides. Brothers and sisters, I pray this is your desire. Again, there's a crisis in the home, and society is made up of families. The church is made up of families. But who is our daddy? Whose child are you? And whose children are we raising? Now, when we think of the word crisis, what comes to mind in Webster's 1828 dictionary? Crisis is defined as to separate, to determine, to decide. Also, the decisive state of things, or the point of time when an affair is arrived to its height and must soon terminate or suffer a material change. Brothers and sisters, have you had or are you having a crisis in your home? You know, the earth is about to fall into the hands of the adversary of God. But I praise God for Jesus. When he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." We still need to look to the great controversy, because we are not home yet. We're not in heaven. And Satan is marshaling his host. And we individually need to be prepared for the fearful conflict that is just before us. Are we preparing our children for the great crisis? Are we preparing ourselves and our households to understand the position of our adversaries and their modes of warfare? Are our children forming habits of decision that they may be firm and unyielding in every matter of principle and duty? I pray that we all may understand the signs of the times, and that we may so prepare ourselves and our children that in the time of conflict, God may be our refuge and defense. I just read from Adventist Home, page 186. But I thank God for his promises, which are yea and amen. As you turn to your Bibles, Ezekiel 38:7 says, "Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them." Brothers and sisters, we are to be guarding not only our families, but we're to be guarding our souls, because Satan, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. There is a crisis. There is such a crisis in our home that we cannot prepare for the crisis to come. Thus, we will not be prepared. So we need to be preparing not only for heaven, but we need to prepare here on earth. I get many calls and letters and texts stating there's crisis in homes. There are husbands and wives at each other. There are children who are being disobedient. And God has sent us his son. He died for us, that we can rest in him. However, we are still in a crisis, and Christ hasn't come. Now, what has brought on the crisis? In Review and Herald, April 1, 1880, paragraph 13 says, "There has been with us a great lack of prayer. We ask of the Lord, but do not believe we shall receive the things for which we ask. We lack that faith which takes hold upon God. And, you know, this morning in worship, we were talking about we are slaves to doubt. We say God is our Father, but many times when a crisis comes, we fall apart. We never go to Him. We always turn to man. And Reverend Harold, March 31, 1903, it says, no one can attain Christian perfection while neglecting the Word of God. It says, search the Scriptures. Christ said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This search enables the student to observe closely the divine model, and as he studies the life of the Redeemer, we're to look to Christ and no other person. He discovers in himself his weaknesses. He sees that he cannot be a follower of Christ without surrendering all to him. Diligently, he studies with a desire to be like the great exemplar and he catches the spirit of his beloved master. By beholding, he becomes changed. It is by thinking of Jesus, by talking of him, by studying his character, that we become changed. However, we look to other things. We look to, oh, I must be married by a certain age. Oh, I must have the finest car, or I must have these shoes or this purse, or there's conflict between husband and wife and the children see it. And they saying, I'll never get married. Or we're in the rat race of trying to make a living in the world, and we're still not ahead. Brothers and sisters, Christ said, look to me. But instead, we keep looking to the world. And God says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Adventist Home, page 200, paragraph 1 says, the Lord has entrusted to the parents a sacred work. They are to cultivate carefully the soul, the soil of the heart. Thus they may be laborers together with God. He expects them to guard, there goes that word again, and tend carefully the garden of the children's hearts. They are to sow the good seed, weeding out every unsightly weed, every defect in character, every fault in disposition needs to be cut away, for if allowed to remain, there will mar the beauty of the character. However, we entrust our children's soul to others. We send them to public school. We even send them to, quote unquote, Adventist school. But do you know the lives or the homes of those teachers you've entrusted your children's hearts to? We have children, but we don't have time for them. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own home, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unbeliever. And he have denied the faith. It's not our faith. We have denied the faith of Jesus. Adventist Home, page 200, continuing reading. Parents, your own home is the first field in which you are called to labor. The precious plants in the home garden demand your first care. To you it is appointed to watch for souls as they that must give an account. As I go around teaching midwifery, I ask the question, what is the purpose of having children? Many of us do not understand. What is the purpose that God set up for us to have children? The reproduction system in men and women are used
But what are we reproducing? We are to reproduce a holy seed.
However, Isaiah 61:11, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. We reap what we sow. I'm reading from 4BSG, page 48. Parents realize not the destructive influence of the seed which they are sowing. It will spring up and bear fruit which will make their children despise parental authority. We have planted seeds in our children which despise parental authority, and we wonder why our children don't want to come around us. We wonder why our children despise us. Even though the fifth commandment, the first commandment of promise, says, honor thy father and mother, but we have planted that seed in our children because we have lived as hypocrites. We have said one thing and we've done another. And our children then say, well, if you say you're a Christian, I want no part of that life. I saw that unless parents awake to the eternal interests of their children, they will surely be lost through their neglect. And the possibility of these unfaithful parents being saved themselves is very small. Parents, I saw, should be exemplary. There goes that word again. They should exert a holy influence in their families. What does exemplary mean? 18:28 says, serving for a pattern or model for imitation, worthy of imitation. The Christian should be exemplary in his life as well as correct in his doctrines. But we allow our children to watch the TV and they see the movie stars, they see the sports figures, and they say, I want to be like Mike. But how many children in the home are saying, I want to be like Jesus? Have you heard your child lately say, Mommy, Daddy, I really want to be like Jesus? Parents, future parents, you are an instrument of salvation to your children. 4BSG, page 48, says the salvation of children depends very much upon the course pursued by their parents. 1 Corinthians 14:7-9, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Many times we speak to our children, and most are not listening to us. It's like you're talking to the air. And why is that? Because we have been false witnesses to them. We have bore false witness, and then we tell our children, you should not lie. And they look at us with disdain and say, but mother, I just heard you tell a lie. When somebody called, you told us to say, you're not here. That's no one on the prayer line. But again, we are planting seeds in our children's hearts. Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, page 9. Old habits of precision, of moving in a certain groove, will have to be changed. Old customs and habits that have long been cherished and idolized will have to be broken up. Brothers and sisters, we are creatures of customs. If we come from a certain country, if our mother did it, our grandmother did it, well, that's the way it has to be done. And that is not according to the owner's manual. Christ is our example, our only example. The Lord has various ways of testing and proving his people. When in his providence he sees that changes are essential for character building, he breaks up the smooth current of the life. He orders that changes shall be made so that his workers shall not stagnate by following the regular order. We are creatures of habit. Again, I said, my mama did it, my daddy did it, my grandmother did it, so I guess I'm about to do it. But have we checked the Word of God, the owner manual? Have we checked the book of the law that said that we should meditate day and night, and our way will be prosperous, and we will have good success? In Heavenly Places, page 330, it says, when in his providence God sees that changes are essential for the success of the character building, he disturbs the smooth current of the life. You hear that, brothers and sisters? God allows the trials and the tests to come our way because he sees that we are too comfortable in our bad habits, in our customs, in our traditions. And he says, I need to shake up the ground. And sometimes that may mean the loss of a loved one. That may mean losing a job or a sickness occurs just to get our attention. In Review and Herald, September 17, 1895, paragraph 9, it says, character is revealed by a crisis. Character is revealed by circumstances. Emergencies bring out the true mental of character. Some sudden and unlooked for calamity, bereavement or crisis, some unexpected sickness or anguish, something that brings the soul face to face with death will bring out the true inwardness of the character. And we think, when these things happen to us, how could God, our Father, do this to us? But we never look to the adversary. We always blame God. But we never know that there was an adversary who was thrown from heaven, out of heaven to this earth, and he has claimed every individual that is born and that is living. And I tell you, Satan attends every birth. That's why when we go on his territory in the hospital or even birthing centers, he has claimed that child. But when we do it God's way, see, he can't claim it because we can pray in the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan, and you are not welcomed here. Because there is much prayer and singing at home birth. But where's the prayer and singing and hallelujah? Because you have so many strangers coming in and out of the room. They interrupt your prayer to your God. Because they set themselves up as gods. As the book, The Confessions of a Medical Heretic, a doctor said, that medicine is nothing but a religion. The hospital is the temple. The doctors are the priests. And who do we worship? Circumstances cannot work reforms. Christianity proposes a reformation in the heart. What Christ works within will be worked out under the dictation of a converted intellect. God's plan with you is to begin at the very seat of all difficulties, the heart, brothers and sisters. It is deceitful and desperately wicked. And then from out of the heart will issue the principles of righteousness. The reformation will be outward as well as inward. But how many of us want our hearts to be changed? Home reform begins in the heart. 1T, page 158, says, if the heart is right, your words, your dress, your acts will all be right. You know, there's so much division in homes today. And I'm not talking in the world. I'm talking in the church. And it says a house divided cannot stand. The cause of division and discord in families means it's a separation from Christ, because Christ is not divided. He was one with the Father. He was one with the heavenly agencies. And when we are divided with one another in our homes, and even division in the church, it is a separation from Christ. If husband and wife are out of order, then the children will be out of order. Adventist Home, page 178, how many dishonor Christ and misrepresent his character in the home circle? How many do not manifest patience? Do we know that word? Forbearance, forgiveness, and true love. Many have their likes and dislikes and feel at liberty to manifest their own perverse disposition rather than to reveal the will, the works, the character of Christ. The life of Jesus is full of kindness and love. Are we growing into his divine nature? You know, this week I was just saying, Lord, I need your character. I need to be long-suffering with those I interact with. Because every time I am impatient, I am depicting who my Father is, and it is not my Father. It is Satan. You know, like the disciples, well, like the Pharisees, was accusing God of being a devil. But see, he called them out. No, you are of your father, the devil, the father of lies. Signs of the time, May 7th, 1894. Parents should not be satisfied until they see the image of the divine in the character of their children. They cannot be happy. There cannot be a happy home where love is not cultivated between husband and wife, between parents and children. If parents have been self-centered and have trained their children in an atmosphere where love was not manifested, in affectionate words and actions, then change the atmosphere of your home as quickly as possible. Let husbands love their wives, and let the wives see that they reverence their husbands. When the grace of Christ is received in the heart, it will soften whatever is harsh and subdue that which is coarse and unkind. Courtesy will be expressed in the affairs of home life. Brothers and sisters, we don't know how to be nice one to another. And interestingly, we will be harsh and unkind in the home, but when we go out in the public, we smile and say, oh, hi, brother so-and-so. Hi, sister so-and-so. Oh, how was your day? And our children are looking at us with disdain. How phony. As I mentioned, a heart transformation requires even the way we dress. If we don't dress correctly, our words will not be right, our actions. One Mind Character Personality 289 says, dress is an index of the mind and heart. That which is hung upon the outside is the sign of what is within. It says the words, the dress, the actions should tell for God. Then a holy influence will be shed upon all around them, and even unbelievers will take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. If any wish to have their influence tell in favor of truth, let them live out their profession and thus imitate the humble pattern. Christ was not showy. Christ didn't come to church late and walk down the aisles and say, "How you like me now? Do you see my new shoes, my 5-inch heels, which are affecting my health, or my dress to the knees?" No, Christ didn't do that. There was no beauty that we should desire him, because he wanted all people to be drawn to him. And he did draw all people to him. Our words, our action, and our dress are daily living preachers, gathering with Christ or scattering abroad. This is no trivial matter to be passed off with a jest. The subject of dress demands serious reflection and much prayer. And do you know where we start dressing our, especially our girls, naked? Is in infancy. When it's hot, we only put on our baby a onesie that is short sleeve and their legs are out and no socks. We start them very early, and we wonder when they grow up. You can't go out of this house dressed like that. But we forget we dress them like that in infancy, childhood, and then when our teenagers walk out, you know, who buy the clothes? Whose home are they living in? They are inmates in the parents' home. I'm sorry. God has made the parents guardians, but we want our children to be our friends. So, excuse me, we want them to like us. Hence, we give in to their evil desires. Ma, everybody else is wearing skinny jeans. But when do we say, in this house, we're going to serve God? Adventist Home 240, paragraph 4. The mother's influence is an unceasing influence, and if it is always on the side of right, her children's character will testify to her moral earnestness and worth. Her smile, her encouragement may be an inspiring force. She may bring sunshine to the heart of her child by a word of love, a smile of approval. What a thought is this, that the mother's looks and words and actions bear fruit in eternity, and the salvation or ruin of many will be the result of her influence. Women, to whom much is given, much is required. And I'm saying, why do we continue having children, but we do not exert the love, the kindness, the influence that God has told us that we must do? The Lord has constituted the husband, the head of the wife, to be her protector. He is the houseband of the family, binding the members together. Even as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the mystical body, Adventist Home 215. But women, we want to be the head of the house. We have a problem with the command that God gave in Genesis 3. You will be subject to your husband and he will rule over you. I'm asking you, why get married if you are not going to obey the commands of God? We must have another father. We must say, you're not my daddy, but I'm going to do what my other daddy says. Adventist Home 213, a father must not be as a child, moved merely by impulse. He is bound to his family by sacred, holy ties. What his influence will be in the home will be determined by his knowledge of the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. When I was a child, Paul says, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The father is to stand at the head of his family. But how many fathers are standing at the head? That's why we have women pastors, which is an oxymoron. It says, ruling the home. A woman is not to rule the home. But are we Jezebels or are we Abigails? The father's conduct in his home life is to be directed and restrained by the pure principles of the Word of God. Then he will grow up to the full stature of a man in Jesus Christ. Adventist Home 117, the Lord Jesus has not been correctly represented in his relation to the church by many husbands in their relation to their wives, for they do not keep the way of the Lord. They declare, the husbands, that their wives must be subject to them in everything. But it was not the design of God that the husband should have control as head of the house when he himself does not submit to Christ. So I know one time this man brought his wife to the pastor and said, she won't submit, she won't submit. And he stopped him and he said, are you submitting? See, we want our wives to submit, but husbands, you're to be as Christ. Christ loved the church. He never forced or compelled any of us to do anything, but with his loving kindness, he has wooed us. But it was not the design of God that husbands should have control. The husband must be under the rule of Christ that he may represent the relation of Christ to the church. If he is coarse, rough, boisterous, egotistical, harsh, and overbearing man, let him never utter the word that the husband is the head of the wife and that she must submit to him in everything. For he is not the Lord. He is not the husband in the true significance of the term. Brothers and sisters, we have come so far from what God has asked us to do as his people. Church and family worship are important, but how many families are having it daily? Where the husband is calling his family together before he leaves to go to his work and praying over them that the Lord will watch between them while they're absent one from another. Mind, Character, Personality, Book 1, 161. I have also been shown that there is often a great failure on the part of the wife. She does not put forth strong efforts to control her own spirit and make home happy. There is often fretfulness and unnecessary complaining on her part. The husband is the head of the family, as Christ is the head of the church, and any course which the wife may pursue to lessen his influence and lead him to come down from that dignified, responsible position is displeasing to God. Brothers and sisters, God has given us an order, and the first law of heaven is order, and the first law on earth in the family, the father is the head, even though he is not doing the things he's supposed to be doing. Still, God has put and allowed him to be in that position, and God will deal with him. Then there's the wife. Then there's the children. But in the Bible, I read that God is going to punish parents for letting their children be captains and chiefs over them. It's whatever our children say, because we don't want them to be angry with us. It says if fathers and mothers are at variance, one working against the other, to counteract each other's influence, the family will be in a demoralized condition, and neither the father nor the mother will receive the respect and confidence that are essential to a well-governed family.
husbands and wives, your child should never see you have a disagreement, never, in their presence. Because our children play, they're very smart. They're smart even when they come out of the womb. And how can we allow a child who does not know how to come in or go out to be our captain or chief? We must ask questions. Does my character reflect the love of Christ? Do I have a combative spirit? Do I carry matters and points to the extreme? Do I act too independent? Oh, I'm going to get me a job because I want my own money. He does not give me enough money. Am I irritated? Or do I irritate rather than pacify? Do I lack a meek and quiet spirit? Do I fail to meet trials in the best manner? Do I talk too much? And am I too self-centered? Do I show too little love? Do I hurt instead of heal? Am I too exacting? Oh, you didn't straighten that book out. You didn't pick up that paper. Do I not seek to win? These are itemized character traits that are talked about in Two Testimony for the Church, page 436. Husband and children spell T-I-M-E, working, playing, and in the family. Worship. Your example is your most powerful tool in shaping your children's character. In this work, you will have the help of the Lord. We think we have to do it by ourselves. We don't. But if you ignore your duty as a wife and a mother and hold out your hands for the Lord to put another class of work in them, be sure that he will not contradict himself. God does not contradict himself. Many women feel they need to be outside of the home, but the Word of God says they're to be keepers of the home. How can you keep the home when you're out keeping in a place which you have no business being? And then have other men in your face over you? Only your husband is to be over you. No other man is supposed to rule you. But when you have a male boss, you have usurped the position of your husband. In neglecting your husband and children for what you suppose to be religious duties, either to attend meetings or to work for others, to give Bible readings or to have messages for others, you are going directly contrary to the words of inspiration in the instruction of Paul to Titus. Remember, Titus 2. I just read from Testimonies on Sexual Behavior and Divorce, page 40. A mother's strength, a mother's courage, a mother's success will depend on how fully the truth presented in the books into her own experience and developed in her character. As a mother, she must be a student of the Bible. When her own life is thus molded, she can go forward representing to others the sacred truth she is handling. Imbued with the Spirit of God, she will gain a deep, rich experience, and heavenly angels will give her success in the Word. You know, sadly, I get many inquiries about women and their intimacy with their husbands. Is it abnormal for them not to feel intimate or wanting to be intimate with their husband? And many times it causes division in the home, in the bedroom. And when we look at it, it stemmed from the beginning. It didn't start when you got married. It started in childhood.
And therefore, I always point women back to the childhood. There are some issues we're still dealing with that we have not let go. And until we deal with those issues, we cannot be that wife to the husband that we feel we want to please. We have to let go. Now, there are some traits we have, but there are traits, too, that we need to improve. Again, are we gentle? Are we patient? Are we meek? Are we kind? Is there humility? Are we cheerful? Are we compassionate? But God also wants us to have courage. He also wants us to persevere. He wants us to be industrious. But he also wants us to be calm in a crisis because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm about to close. It says human effort alone will not result in helping your children or your husband to perfect a character for heaven. But with divine help, a grand and holy work must be accomplished. Adventist Home 207, paragraph 2, fathers, God does not propose to do the work that he has left for you to do in your home. You must not give up to indolence and be slothful servants. If you would have your children saved from the perils that surround them in the world, and to mothers, he knows that you are doing the best you can, and he will increase your power. He will himself, that is your Father in heaven, do the part of the work that the wife, mother, or father cannot do. He will work with the wise, patient, well-directed efforts of the God-fearing wife and mother. Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus. As you take up the work of saving your children and maintaining your position on the highway of holiness, the most provoking trials will come. But I want to encourage each one on this line, but do not lose your hold. Cling to Jesus. He says, let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Difficulties will arise. You will meet with obstacles. But the remedy is look constantly to Jesus. When an emergency arises, ask, Lord, what shall I do now? The harder the battle, the greater the parents' need of help from their Heavenly Father, and the more marked will be the victory gain. Brothers and sisters, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We're praying. Father in heaven, you're our Father, and you have adopted us as your sons and daughters. But we have not been the children that you desire us to be. But God, we're presenting ourselves to be a living sacrifice, but we must get on that altar. We must ask for forgiveness of our sins and bring ourselves, sinners, to that altar. We thank you for our high priest who is pleading on our behalf. We have failed, Lord. We are artistic and not independent thinkers. We have sought other gods. We have sought other men to be our daddy when we have a Heavenly Father with outstretched arms. When we are discouraged, when we fall, even in the time of help, need of help, you have never left us, but we leave you. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses and our iniquity. But help us, Lord, to truly look to you, the only wise God, our Savior, our Lord.
These things we ask in the worthy name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Pat, for that very critical message about crisis in our homes. Indeed, there is a crisis there, or there are crises happening in our homes, in our families, starting with marriages, to parenting, to our children, because it's the new normal. It's a new world, a new normal where there is always problems in the families, how to rear children. There's always conflict between parents and children, and it's worse nowadays. You have said that Satan is like a roaring lion ready to devour everyone. He hates marriage, family, which is an institution of God, and he is deceiving people to separate families through technologies and false happiness. You mentioned about sports, the idolizing Hollywood, and many more. You can find influences in the magazines, in the TV, and even with friends. So it's difficult to be parents, more so nowadays. But thank you for emphasizing that as parents, we can cope with this crisis by taking Jesus as our example in our parenting role. And we have hope with God. Nothing is impossible. He, in the book of prayer, says there that happy will it be for the children of our homes and the students of our schools when parents and teachers shall learn in their own lives the precious experience of having a personal contact with Christ, on sitting down in companionship with him, because this is our need. And this can be done through prayers. So thank you for that very important message, Sister Pat. Indeed, I remember a friend, when he learned that his wife was pregnant, he was saying, "Oh Lord, yeah, please let it not be a girl," because it's so sad looking at everywhere. Whenever he rode the bus, he sees these children, not only the daughter, but he's especially concerned with the daughter, where you can see them doing things even in public places in their very young age. So we have a crisis indeed, and it is through praying without ceasing that will give us the encouragement as parents. So thank you for your message and your ministry. May God continue to bless you. And I will be opening the line for Q&A. So sisters who are in the line this morning, we want to hear your comment, your question. Please star 6 your line. I have a sister from Wisconsin. Good morning, sister. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you, Sister Nora, for moderating this morning. And thank you, Sister Pat, for taking time. I know you're still with your seminar right now. And I'm excited to tell you, that there's a new friend that I met that would have loved to take in your course there, and she's interested in midwifery. She's got other things she's doing as well, but she sees the importance as women, as we were talking, that we should be there to support women. So not everyone is as fortunate as you, Sister Nora, where you've been able to help maybe not by your choice, but yeah, your testimony with helping some people with their births. So you've been a minute woman as well. Yeah, thank you for all you've said, Sister Pat. It's just, yeah, so needed. Like I've always said before, I've got a good friend. The only one I've helped with her two births that her and her husband just have so many issues, and so it's easier for her to, you know, put her five-year-old in school, and it just, it makes me so sad, and I pray for them. And it's full days now, you know, these little five-year-olds, full days, and she's got a three-year-old too, so keep Mandy and Phil in prayer. I pray that they, would change their mind with that. So dangerous, especially these days with everything out there. But, so God bless you all today, and I'm going to go back and listen and maybe call I was thinking of calling her and a couple people to listen to your presentation. Maybe you could give us a little update, if you don't want to now or at the end, of how your seminar is going. It's always fun to hear. Thank you. God bless you all. Happy Preparation Day.
Well, praise God. The Lord has truly blessed. I have one of my students here, and I'm just going to let her briefly give her experience, briefly, to hear how God has truly blessed during these 3 weeks.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Michelle, and I am originally from New York. Well, actually, I do live in New York. And interestingly, the Lord has opened up the door for me in many different ways. But I want to be very close to or even learning that there was someone teaching midwifery. I met Sister Pat. Well, I call her Mama Pat. I met Mama Pat in 2013. I moved to Tennessee, and the Lord provided through his leading for me to move out there. I met her through another friend of ours, and later she ended off going to Belize, and I never got any contact with her then. So as I came back from I was interning at Meat Ministry in Jamaica. I came back, I went to New York, and then 2 to 3 years in line of me coming back, I was an assistant, or I attended my best friend's birth. It was the last three of her children I attended. And then another best friend of mine said, oh, why don't you become a doula? I went, I did my research, and then I took the course. Upon taking that course, I started doing some research, and I started getting into, you know, wanting to learn how to become a placenta encapsulator. But I always felt uneasy because they talk about a lot of new age. They have a new age standpoint, and all I saw myself doing was becoming to think like the people who I was getting my information from. I started looking into chakra. I started looking into so many different things. And then I reached out to see if I could get into a midwifery school. But the Lord always provided that any mother that I would get in contact with, the Lord made it that I never got anybody outside of my friends to become a doula to. And also, I could never get into any of the schools that I reached out to. Now, the lady who I trained under to become a placenta encapsulator, later on, as I, you know, got to know her more, she's into witchcraft and into sorcery. So every time she would invite me to come and every time she'd come and invite me to eat, I just couldn't. I'm just saying, I'm putting a picture so you guys could just understand. Fast forward. I prayed. I said, Lord, I want to learn your way because something is not right. I was on a group chat. They put up the flyer. I saw who was doing it. I immediately, I immediately reached out to her. Fast forward. The Lord opened up the door. He led me to the people who I needed to contact. Through donation, I made it to the class. Fast forward. I'm in the class, and I want to say I am so thankful, number one, that I'm not a parent. Number two, I am not married. Number three, I did not go to any other schools. And number four, that he has finally gave me my purpose in his work in the right time with the right in the right place. And I am truly blessed because now I understand that in order for us to reach, we need to be taught. And being taught, I feel like I'm married at the foot of Jesus. This class has been an eye-opener as I'm not married and I don't have children. So I feel like I'm not saying that for anything, but I'm at a better place to not only prepare myself, but to help educate other people who are also in the same age, who's also dealing with some of the things that I deal with. So I just want to thank God. That's my journey.
Can I just say something real quick? I'm so sorry. I'm really excited because if we could keep Stephanie. I'm sorry. Her name is Stephanie, and she's in New York, and she's a single woman and never been married, no children, and taking care of her mother actually at the moment. But she wants to get out of New York, and she said that you can't be a midwife in New York. So she was looking into a doula, and I did tell her, Sister Pat, what you had said about a doula. And so anyways, thank you for your testimony. I'll tell her to listen because she's praying to get out. And she thought, well, at least I could be a doula because we can't be midwives in New York. But she doesn't want to be there, but she just wanted to be helpful. So she thought maybe if she took the doula, she would learn more. But, yeah, you coming from New York, that's a wonderful testimony I can share with Stephanie. So thank you.
And I'll also want to share, I have two individuals from New York here. And yesterday we did the class on what is legal and what is lawful. And it says in John chapter 7, the people who know not the law are cursed. As God's people, we don't know God's law as it relates to midwifery. No state can regulate anything that God has already established. So the problem is not the regulations of the law. The problem is we don't trust God. And Pharaoh told the midwives when they were in captivity to kill the children. And he was the king of that world. He was also the God. And they did not obey. So no man can regulate God's law because God's law comes first.
True.
Yeah. I was just going to say thank you, Sister Pat. I've heard that you say that before, and I forgot. See how we need to hear these things over. So I will definitely have her listen to this today. That will be a blessing. Yeah, keep her in prayer, Stephanie. Thank you. Thank you, Sister
Nora.
And
I've delivered in New York. I've delivered. They say you have to have a master's. Who can master anything? I'm the master sinner, but I don't master God's work. So we just got to be students of the Bible.
Amen. And we should have a heart of doing God's work, Sister Pat. So thank you for sharing, and thank you for the sister that shared her testimony. And let's just continue to have that mind of Christ in us, so that continue to look upon Jesus, what he wants us to do, and be a blessing to the people around us. Thank you, Sister Pat, for sharing the testimony of a sister. So may we have more testimony in the future. Anyone else who has a question or comment, please star 6 your line. Yeah, it's Sister Pat, in your practice, in your ministry, so you deliver many babies. Did you have you encountered any like resistance from families when you assisted someone in having their babies?
Most of the time, when there's resistance, there's because of lack of education. And when we educate people, I taught in this class about midwifery. It's a ministry. That's what it was from the beginning, and God set it up as an office. But we don't understand the work. But I read a quote yesterday, and I posted it. Because it says, the Lord is displeased with how childbirth has been handled, where men treat women. And it says, we are to be protesting. I'm a protester now. We say we're Protestant. I am protesting. I am pro-midwifery. And God says we're to be protesting. So I educate, and women, when they're educated, I've had women from 7 months to 8 months change their mind when they see the Word of God and they want to do it God's way.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Sister Pat. And just continue doing your ministry. And I know I'm in the medical field, but having worked in a public health office in the mountains, I have, and being reared also in the country, I saw how many deliveries that are just like, it's just natural. So it shows we just have to put our complete trust in the Lord. And if we don't think that there are some medical centers out there or doctors out there, we will be contented with what we have. And being in the country, really you will have a simple perspective of life, and you will just do natural things that you had been observing. And one is having delivered a baby naturally, and I've seen many of that. And I'm a witness that although they depended on me because I'm a nurse, but deep inside me I said, Lord, what will I do? Just help me. Yeah, so, and it's always working. The Lord is always helping. Yeah. So I have delivered babies and the home situation, that when I go there, they're looking at me, but deep inside me, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. just help me. And it works. So God is so good. And that time, I was not even a converted person. So, but the Lord had used me as a sinner to be a blessing to others. So thank you for your ministry, Sister Pat, and I know you're one of a kind, and we pray that the Lord will continue to bless you and lead you what he wants you to do and be a blessing. So I don't see anyone else unmuting their lines, Sister Pat.
would you like to give your closing comment? Then we can open the line again for prayer requests.
My closing remarks are, when we will not be able to buy or sell, and women will be having babies till Jesus comes, where are you going to go? If we are not looking to God as our Father now, we're in choir rehearsal. And what we do now will show when it's time to perform. So and every man has to be convinced. And God wants all of us to be special. I am not one of a kind. God had midwives when his children were in captivity in Egypt. He did not let the world deliver them. And he's the same God then and now. Throughout the whole Bible, I haven't seen one male deliver a baby unless it was the husband. So we need to change our education. We need to be re-educated. And I'm going to be protesting from now on, because I heard a worldly person who I would consider a worldly, and she was a movie, well, she was a talk show host. She says she is pro-midwifery. And when I heard that, I'm saying, here we say we are God's, we are the remnant church, and how many of us are showing that we are for God's way, which is midwifery. He never changed it. Sister Nora, I have to pray because I do need to go take care of something. So can I just do a closing prayer, and then you all do the prayer request if you don't mind?
Okay, Sister Pat, just pray for all our prayer lists. And to all our parents, that we will reflect the character of Christ. And please pray especially for Sister Pat Charles. I haven't heard from her, which is so unusual for the past week. So let's pray for all our unspoken ones.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that you are our Father. You love us with an everlasting love. And you're not willing that any should perish, and you want us to spend eternity with us. You've called us as your people. You've chosen us as your people. However, we must become faithful. We must become obedient children to your laws, to your commandments, to your statutes, to your judgments, Lord. We have wandered so far. And we need thee. Oh, how we need thee. Every hour we need thee. I thank you for the word of God, which is a light and a lamp, and also our manual. We've been told if we would study the Bible to show ourselves approved, God, many times we think when things are done, they are blessings. But it is only your mercy, because it says blessings never come with sorrow, never come with sorrow. So, Lord, we're just asking that we will have a heart transformation, that we will reform not only in the heart, but we will have a transformation in pregnancy and childbirth, in Sabbath worship, also a home reformation, that we will be new creatures, because we cannot put old wine in a new bottle. And God, be with our people on the line who have been here from the beginning. And we pray, Lord, that they have heard many messages, but they are out proclaiming the three angels' message, which is the message for today. Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit. I haven't heard from Pat, but I did hear just yesterday that she's still praying and the Lord is still working. And that, God, we know that you know the beginning from the end, and that we should submit everything to you, and whatever is our will should be in your hand. Be with our children, Lord, the ones that have left the nest at home and that have not been taught according to your word, God. You are the competent educator. You are the master teacher. And that, Lord, where we failed as parents, you have sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, to convict us of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. We pray for everyone that is listening. Lord,
It says, perfect love casteth out all fear. You have given us a command. Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage? And all man can do is kill us. But if they kill the body, they cannot kill the soul. We will die. But if we die, will God get glory? Glory. Lord, if we're not living for you, why would we die for you? So help us, God. Be with us this preparation day as we prepare not only physically, but mentally and spiritually. And help us to enter into your Sabbath day without any defilement. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Pat, for being with us today. Thank you for your ministry, and we look forward to having you again after 2 weeks and share more. God bless your day. Happy Preparation Day. So, brothers and sisters who are on the line today, let us continue to be faithful and prayerful that the Lord will guide us in everything that we do, especially in taking care of our children, and that we will have the character of Jesus of Christ in us, so that we will be a great witness to our sphere of influence. To listen to this presentation again, the reference number is 777. And this is part 3 of the parenting class. The part 1 was reference number is 716. The part 2, which was entitled Parenting, Do You Have a Choice? That's 737. So 716, part 1, 737, part 2. And today, part 3 is 777. Please share this, the number of this prayer line, and to listen to the playback, just dial 712-451-1068, enter the code 373047#, and the reference code today is 777. And as you have listened to the message today, let that be an encouragement to all of us to study the scriptures ourselves and the spirit of prophecy, and don't just take the speaker's word. This way you will learn and the truth, and we will avoid deception, and we will have the light of God's words in us. So thank you everyone for being with us today. The speaker tonight is Brother Udi Calver. And for our announcement, for those who are in the Los Angeles area, starting tonight at 7 p.m. Vespers tomorrow until Sunday, Pastor Doug Batchelor will be at the White Memorial Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Los Angeles. The address is 1720 Cesar Chavez Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90033. So we invite everyone to join the church as they study this, as they have this evangelism class. And for next month, the Watch and Pray Outreach of the Religious Liberty Department of Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church is coming up. It will be on April 18 to 20, 2019. The theme is Liberty of Conscience Threatened. And the speakers will be Pastor Stephen Bohr, Brother Hal Mayer, and Dr. Isaac Olatunji. We invite everyone to join us, and we are also appealing for volunteers and your kind-hearted donations to make this outreach a success. To donate, you can please write your check to Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church and write on the memo, Watch and Pray,
and mail it to Central Filipino SDA Church, 777 Colorado Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90041. You can email watchpray@gmail.com for details. And thank you in advance for your support. And a week after that, on April 26 to 27, Brother John and wife Angela Lumakang of 3ABN will present a Call to Watchmen series, and we'll have a Sabbath concert at Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church. It will start on Friday Vespers at 7 p.m. and Sabbath Divine Service 11 a.m. and Sabbath p.m. 2 to 4 p.m. For information, please call 323-255-7718 or email watchprayandwork@gmail.com. All the presentations are available anytime, anywhere, as long as you have an internet connection at our website, cfwplm.org. You can access all the archive presentations. The edited replay is also broadcasted at swmradio.com 4 times every day. For suggestions, comments, prayer requests, and testimonies, please email us at soca@gmail.com. Please stay faithful and keep watching, praying, and working with us until Jesus comes. Thank you, everyone, for your faithfulness and for your dedication through the years here in the prayer line. May you continue to bless others by sharing the messages presented in this prayer line. So may you have a good preparation day. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the word of the Lord says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Have a blessed Sabbath, everyone, and see you tonight. This is the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, committed to preparing God's people for the soon second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless.